Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.
Right, you're very welcome along to this week's Friday Night Racing. As ever, Johnny Ward is with us in studio. We'll get to our special guest, Kevin Bruder, in just a minute. Johnny, how are you?
Not too bad, Ger, not too bad. I see the Irish Independent have given Rachel Blackmore and Graham McDowell joint Sports Stars of the Week. GMAC, who of course featured in a pretty idyllic snooker clip doing the rounds this week as well, talking about Kevin Kilbane, but Rachel and him sharing the hot off the press.
Rightly so. Rachel, yeah, an amazing performance.
Rachel, apart from the fall of Aspire Tower at the last in the juvenile hurdle, who I don't think would have won, she had a great week. And I think the feeling was that the atmosphere at Leopardstown, which was, like, by all accounts, was as good as we've had in a long time, a lot of it was to do with the fact that there's a great regard for Rachel Blackmore in terms of what she's doing as a jockey. And she had two big wins.
I think, too, the quality, like, I sat there on Saturday and watched the whole thing from my couch, and it was great. It was like...
You are the problem, Ger.
No,
I'm... You can sit at home, and then you can watch the rugby, and... Too many people who are actual racing fans, proper racing fans, do exactly what you do too often, because they've gotten into that habit. And as I've said a million times, our challenge is to get people to go racing more often.
It's true. Mm. However, I have three kids, so I wasn't. I couldn't abandon them. It was like I was stuck to the couch, right?
Right.
Thanks for.
Okay.
I just have to clear that up.
Could have brought them racing.
I mean, the little one, you couldn't. He'd run out in front of the horses. They're like, no, I can't. He's three. And he's wild. Like, he's jumping off. It's stupid.
He'll be a jockey.
Eventually, I will. Don't worry. They will all. We will go. But he's too wild at the minute.
Yeah.
The other two, absolutely, be great. But anyway, I digress. It was brilliant because each race was, there was somebody you knew in it. There was, like, enough narrative for the casual racing fan to be able to go, oh, I recognise that horse, oh, I recognise that trainer and that jockey, and I've seen this horse over the last couple of years struggle or win. And then most of the finishes were really good.
Absolutely. Like, lots of different trainers. We had Paul Nolan on the show. He had the first winner of the 2 days in a Grade One with a very promising horse for an owner breeder. And as was explained on the show last week, it was lovely the fact that the ownership of the horse slightly changed, but it was basically owners from his yard who were loyal to him in tough times who
got together.
And, like, let's be honest, that horse is, even though he's getting on a bit, he's quite old for a novice hurdler. He's very valuable. He's worth a lot of money. And if the owner wants to sell him, he would likely have ended up in another yard, apart from what they did, which was keep him in the yard and syndicate him through the ownership system of Paul Nolan's yard. But, like, Paul, the reception that Lace Exhibition got was just testament to the fact that Paul Nolan is just a good guy. He's a very popular guy. And it just went from there. It was fantastic. And this is a point that I haven't heard made up until this year that much in terms of the Dublin Race Festival, is that there's more of a concentration of very good racing than there is at Cheltenham. There are 8 Grade Ones over 2 days. The Grade Twos are really good. The Bumper is a serious race. The handicaps, I mean, the Ladbrokes Hurdle used to be the pivot race of one of the meetings in the past. It's an exceptional race, and obviously our guest today will talk about that. So it's just fantastic from start to finish, and it's going places fast, the Dublin Race Festival. I thought it was an exceptional 2 days.
So Rachel Blackmore was amazing on the Saturday, and then Fahim was Sunday, is that right?
Fahim was Sunday. I was listening back today on the races, speaking to a guy who was in the... I wasn't in the stand for the Fahim race. He said it was just off the charts, and... you know, there were men crying in the parade ring, women crying in the parade ring after he came in. He's 12 years of age, and I think people can draw from that some sort of higher, I don't know...
Meaning?
Meaning in that he's 12 years of age, he shouldn't be winning a Grade 1 novice chase. It shouldn't be happening. And Willie Mullins took the bold move to do it. And it could, if the horse had died in a novice chase, like, Willie would get a lot of slack for that. But he's obviously a very good horseman. But people... young and old could appreciate the significance of a 12-year-old beating a horse half his age in a Grade 1, especially a horse with so much prowess in terms of the public kind of love as Fahim. And it was just great. It was fantastic.
What about the finish of the Paddy Power Gold Cup?
That was fantastic, actually. You just look back and say, you know, half an hour later, the star performer has broken his leg for the fourth time at 20 years of age. And racing has a strange habit of knocking you when you're up and lifting you when you're down in a way, because that was just that Jack could go from such a good, confident ride in a grade one and really at the peak of his powers again to 20 years of age. For that to happen again, it just felt almost devastating, but it was a fantastic race. The three horses they wanted in the betting, Kenboy, Delta Work and Presenting Percy, all in with a big chance jumping the second last. You couldn't ask for more.
Yeah, I took from this that I think Presenting Percy is going to fulfil his destiny, is it he, in Cheltenham in the Gold Cup.
I think. Why do you say that?
Because I think that this is a Cheltenham horse. I think that, like, and last year completely underprepared, like, not just because of weather conditions not going their way. All the talk that we had about climate change having an impact on when they were going to race, and one race around the fences the wrong way around Galway, not even a race, it's not the right way.
Yeah.
He needs to be. And I just think, like, I have a vision of him coming on for that. Am I stupid?
No. If it makes sense, as much as you're not training a horse for grade ones at Leopardstown, they are 100%.
Oh, no, absolutely. It's just that it could, like, they're
100% training them specifically as much as is possible without, you know, bending the rules or whatever for the Gold Cup. That's his race. He went to the race last year. I backed him in the race last year. I watched him the whole way around. The fences came like machine gun at him. They were just like bang, 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 bang. He couldn't get into a rhythm. He hadn't jumped a fence all year apart from that Galway school, which is really neither here nor there. And he just wasn't able for it. Now, there might have been another excuse. This year he's developed, they ran him over 2.5 miles to sharpen up his jump, and they've run him, the second last day at Leopardstown, I thought he was given a pretty educational time of it. He travelled really well on Sunday, and then he sort of cut out. Just maybe he's not fully there fitness-wise yet. I couldn't agree more with you. I'm not saying he'll win the Gold Cup, but I'd be confident that'll be his best performance this year.
Right. Well, that's enough to...
And that's the beauty of it, because there were two horses ahead of him.
Yeah, both of them.
Should have an obvious chance. And then you've Album Photo, you have the really beautiful Santini, you have all these other kind of English horses that have come in with some sort of a chance. Gold Cup is just shaping up to be an absolute belter.
By the way, Tom Lone tipped up Santini a couple of weeks back before he won.
When
he was 9-1, now he's into about 9-2, I think, or maybe a little bit longer than that. Right, our guest this week is jockey Kevin Bruder. Kevin, how are you getting on?
Hi, not too bad.
Not too bad.
It's typical Kerry understatement for two winners at the Dublin Race Fest.
Exactly, you had a quiet weekend last weekend.
Yeah. I was the same as Jack there. I know I got a high and straight away I got a low in the big chase, the Grade B. Articulum was travelling really well at the second last, and I was jumping really well. And we didn't have to jump the last. Going by his judgment of his runs, his last few runs, you would have said it played into my favour, but I was jumping so well through the rest, I would have loved to have been there and stood up. I think I would have took a lot of beating. That would have put the icing on the cake if he stood up.
So what happened at that last fence?
I jumped a fine, got in a little bit tight, but jumped a fine, but I just think he went a little bit high behind and just tipped over the speed we were going. So I was just common, easy mistake. He had a fell and unseated. I think it's more of everyone thinking about it than actually the horse's fault, you know. You had everyone just saying, oh, he's after falling and unseating in his last three runs. So it was just a pity it happened. It's just a pity it happened.
Yeah, and so have you been on board him the last three runs?
No, I just got the ride on him for Terence O'Brien. He's been very good to me. He's given me a lot of opportunities now. Philip Inraid got off him to ride the favourite for Tony Martin, and I was nicked up with the owners, and everyone's happy to keep me on him.
And before we go on to your success then, so next time out, what kind of races do you think he's going to end up in over the next couple of months?
He's going to have a little bop around in Nace. I'm speaking to Terence. I'm suspended, so I can't ride him. So I think we're going to let the young fella in the yard, an amateur, Dara Allen, have an old tip around him there, get his confidence there before we go to Cheltenham. He's in the Ryanair. It's a bit close to be going all guns blazing in Nace. I think if we just get him around, get him into good rhythm, let him finish good and healthy and strong, and go for a handicap then in Cheltenham.
Right.
It just should be mentioned the weekend that this man had, because I know you'd appreciate this, Kevin, as well. There's so much going on in the Dublin Race Festival with Grade Ones. Eight of the races are Grade One, which is the majority of the 15 races. People would nearly forget that he rode two winners, but Kevin had five rides over the 2 days. One of them was a 33-1 shot, who realistically had no chance. Right. So let's concentrate on his other four rides. 150 grand race wins. 100 grand hurdle race, second at 27. 100 grand race wins, and the other race was the race in which he could have won, except he had that late fall, which is incredible going really for select, selection amounts.
Yeah, it was good. I never actually looked at it that way. I just get up and do my job and try do as good as I can and keep everyone happy. James Nash's horse, as you mentioned there now, Hammersmith, he was the only one who was out of the prize money and just never got into it. Just was never on a going there.
I have a bit of bad news for you there. Unfortunately, the horse for turns was out of the prize money as well because it fell.
Yeah, he wouldn't have if I stayed up.
Such is life. Your attachment to the likes of Charles Burns and Terrace O'Brien would suggest you have a fair idea of the sort of good, true trainer to be with anyway.
Yeah, it's great. Two of them are looking after me well. And Tom Mullins is starting to use me everything I can ride for him. He has no questions asked. He just leaves me on him. So it's great for that as well.
Let's talk about the winners. Which one for you was the most impressive?
It was completely different. The ride you give, Traces in Escorthy, to me, it must be the greatest certainty of all time when he jumps a fence. But you're riding him on the second day of the festival from the front. He's obviously a gorgeous horse, the way he goes about things. I heard you talking after the race. I was very impressed the way you spoke about it. But I don't know. You're probably the better man to ask yourself. What was that like, Kevin, for a start? Because he's a really likeable horse, this fella.
Oh, he's a lovely horse. Big 17 hands horse. Like you said, he's going to be a different kettle of fish once he goes over fences. And Mr. Winter's very mad to go over fences, but he's not ready to go over them yet. He's still pretty well handicapped, I think. I think we should going to give him a little run in Nace in a big novice chase, 75 grand to the winner. And we'll put him away then till Punchestown for... I hope he goes for a hurdle with him, but there's another novice chase, big prize money as well. But I'd prefer to let him have his crack over hurdles till he's at his end, and then go chasing with him. I'd be hoping.
It was lovely after race, well, because Robert Widger, a former jockey, who, I don't know, how many horses would he have, Kevin?
Three, but he's big into his eventing and buying and selling half-breds. Good money in that.
So the job that he's done with that horse, was it like I saw after race, Nick Luck of Racing TV was talking to him, and he was talking to, I presume, it must have been Robert's kids as well. This horse has won four out of his last five races, and as you were saying there, he's actually really, he looks, even though he jumps his hurdles, he looks like a chaser. But Robert has done, I just saw it was a lovely story that Robert could have a winner like that on the biggest weekend of the calendar really for racing in Ireland.
Yeah, he's done some of his unexpected tackler job with this horse, especially the problems that the horse has, and to get him there as good and as fit and as well as he has is unbelievable because he has his problems.
I'm looking at Antipost for the Ryanair Chase, just to go back to Articulum, sorry, about available at about 100-1 or 66-1. It sounds to me like you think if that horse can get around that he's got a chance to win any race he's in. Now, obviously, unbelievable step up in the quality in that field. But at the same time, he's got a chance.
I think he has. See him storming up that hill last year in the Arkell. He doesn't know how to stop galloping. He has a bit of speed for 2 mile. He has everything. He ticks all my boxes. If it was me, I'd be trying to go for the Ryanair because you have a smaller field, you have more room, you've everything to play with, you can bring them back. And, you know, in handicaps, it's different. There's 30 runners or 28, or, you know, it's a full field and there's no time for error. I know in the Ryanair you're going to be going away faster and better horses, but you just have plenty of room to play around with, plenty of room. And going from his Arkell run, I'd love to ride him in it.
Yeah, it's interesting just listening to you chat about Robert Widger and Tracy Zinnes-Gorthy and Articulum. It's clear that you're always thinking in your head about the information that you need to feed back to the trainer and the owner, and that you're not just there to ride the horse at all. You're actually soaking up as much information as you possibly can about where this horse is going to be best implicated into the rest of the season.
Yeah, like Punch's Tone isn't a track for him. I rode him there and I won on him and I hung very hard out because he has his problems, as I said earlier on. And then I went to Cork for Charles and I couldn't ride him, so I rang him up, gave him plenty of time, and he put Young Oakley Brown on him. And he looked like to be bait, turning in, overhanging. He couldn't get after him and push him. But at the end of it then, he won snug again. The Punchstone probably isn't a track for him, but he's got that much of an engine, I think he'll still take whacking. He could end up hanging a little bit out. And once you straighten up, you can let him hang away out and get stuck into him then.
When did you start thinking like that, though, that your job is not to just get the horse around, that it's actually to think about the structure of the season and to feed that information back?
Well, a lot of young jockeys as well aren't really particularly adept at that. I think that's not a problem for you, maybe.
No, but the lads I ride for, I talk to them like a friend, you know. I just ring them up day to day, how's the horse, and make a plan and see what they're thinking, and they'll have listen to an input that I think. We work well together. Everyone that I ride for, they're like a friend. I just chat away with them every day.
Even Charles Burns?
He's a little bit different.
what was the story of Saturday, or how did that come about? Because Charles... As much as I love him, I did have a smile when he said he didn't fancy him despite the fact he's back from 20s into 7s.
I don't know. I have no comment on that one.
What about Charles, though, in terms of getting the ride? And did you think he'd much of a chance going out there? Or was it... Because you rode him with confidence, I suppose.
Yeah, it's... I re-watched the run of Off You Go 2 years in a row. And... you need a lot of luck in them races, and I got absolutely no luck. I got stopped at the bottom bend. I ended up in last three of us upsides, and I took that in the chin, and I just said, whoa, breathe, Kevin, breathe, relax. Went for him again, and I got stopped again. And then I just said, look, we're going to just get a gap here now and switch him out and just head for leather. And I thought I had him covered going down to the last, and... I actually thought there was a big stride there, but there wasn't when I got there. And I went in and I popped it, and I was like, oh, better hit the gas here. And I was gas, gas, gas. And then he took off.
When you say how much went wrong, like, how good of a trainer is this man to win that race? One of the toughest races in the country to win. Charles, like, to me, is criminally underused as a trainer in terms of the amount of horse he is. But to win that race 3 years in a row and to have the horse as well prepared that he was so well in himself that even despite the mishaps that befell you during the race, he could still win.
Yeah, he is a genius of a trainer. Like, you see Russell even saying it, the whole lot. When he has won ready for the day and to leave me on him, you know, normally it's Russell and all, you know, he likes all the big lads and all that. To leave me on him and trust me with him is unbelievable. He's a very nice man to ride for, you know. I know all the horses there now in the yard, and he'd come out to me and just say, what you think? I'd say, look, this filly could be a bit free. We'll take our time a bit. And he'd say, perfect. Be there second last. And he could say, don't hit the front too early. He'll... that's around, just produce them down the line. He'd always ask me, what do I think? And let me do what I need to do and just tell me where I need to be. And that's it. Like when I run in Roscommon, he taught me, don't be afraid to take it up a circuit to go on the grey horse who won in Galway. Jesus. I forget his name.
I should know this as well.
Don't worry about it. He'll come back to us.
Yeah. I did text him after his son Philip has graduated from the pony circuit, and he his first winner was this. It was about 10 days ago, maybe, and I just said congratulations.
In Limerick.
At Limerick, yeah, won very well. Vinnie Rohorse first time out. And I just texted him, I said, congratulations on Philip. And he replied a few hours later, thanks, Johnny. Please don't tip any of his mounts. So there you are. But I've been involved in a horse with Charles.
He's obviously been watching us.
Maybe we'll get him on.
Come here, Kevin. You have two older brothers who kind of paved the way for you. Is that right?
One older, one younger.
Right. Okay. Okay. Fair enough. But your older brother was the one who kind of got you into the whole idea, maybe of becoming a jockey.
Yeah. I was mainly into sports. Like I loved football, hurling, soccer, boxing, anything to do with hands and feet and hitting the lead and doing well, all that stuff. I loved it. And I went on one Sunday. We had no game, and I watched a pony race, and there was a little pony called Maniac, little black, little tiny little pony. It looked like a hunter, and she just came out of the pack and just took off and didn't even look like it was doing a half speed. It was just going so easy and won. And my brother finished second in the race, and I says, "Jesus, I want to do this." And I started off then with Michelle Brosnan out there and Tom O'Connor and all of them, and to kickstart from there.
I absolutely love Kerry, I have to say. I happily like spend as much time there as possible. But is there something about Kerry, you spoke there, Brosnan, a very common Kerry name, is there something about Kerry racing that's particularly special, Kevin, because you obviously have the Dingle Derby, you have racing Ballyhaig, you have Lasol, you had three tracks at one stage, Tralee and Killarney. It's a special place for racing, really.
It is. A lot of people actually come from Kerry. There's been a lot of jockeys. A lot of good lads too with us. I think we breed well down here.
And then so the 3E came along.
Yeah. He went off to England and everything, done really well in England. Mm. The order for the Garrod and came home when he shouldn't have. He was brought four winners, I think, at one meeting at one stage. Just packed up and came home with his girlfriend. And kind of didn't really take off from there. Kind of went very quiet. So I don't know. I think he should go back there.
Yeah. What age is he now?
25.
And you're?
22.
And Garrod?
Gavin is.
Gavin, rather.
Yeah, he's 19. 20 maybe.
That is actually remarkable. Three, like I can think of maybe the Moors in terms of Haley rode a bit as well. There would be others. Three brothers to be riding at a very high level. It must be very special for your family.
Oh, it is. It's great, especially like the stall races and all, and like everybody, absolutely everybody there. Like, and I had a good Lestall festival there. Going into thinking, oh, can I get one winner each year? It'd be great. I didn't ride 4, 5 maybe. I think I was leading rider. And I was leading rider on Killarney as well and got nothing for us. No prize, no. My hometown, I thought they'd have a big trophy or something for me. But no, riding at the home track is special. Special.
Was there horses in your family before, like your brother's in pony racing? What got him into it? What did you have horses around the place?
No, we had a few donkeys. They were drawn the old turf back in the old days, and they kind of just kept it going. There was always 4 or 5 donkeys out in the front lawn. That's how we actually started off. We used to go into the house there of my mother's home place. My uncle's living there now. We used to all kind of get together on a Sunday, and we'd all have 2 or 3 quid from my mother, and we'd all put it up the table and jump on, give it to the donkeys up over the dike. Whatever they get over, it takes the money home. So that's how we kind of, you could say donkeys were always there, but not horses. And then we started off bareback and hunting around the roads and
right.
Kicked off from there then.
I'd say your parents had great crack with you.
Oh, we were wild, I'd say. Great crack, I'd say they were delighted to see us gone. Get us out the house.
And all the more happy to see you coming home, especially safe and sound after all this. What's next for you, Kevin? Because have you missed Cheltenham most years because of injury?
Every year. Just the Petty Power Festival, everything, every year I've missed. And I've got to touch wood to make it there this year.
You've no rise the weekend, which is a bit mad.
I'm banned for 7 days, and I displaced my shoulder after the fall off articulum. Mm. And my ankle is, I've just come out of the hospital this morning. They use the word sore word or something. The ligaments are around my ankle. not good.
Yeah, and where are you actually based in terms of training?
Listowel, I'm down home. So well, I'm in Askeaton. I'm living in Askeaton with the missus.
Are you riding out with Charles then?
I do a couple of days with Charles, and I try to keep looked after all the people that start to me off down here. And I go to Barry O'Connell once a week or school something, or James Nash was good to me. So I try to look after everyone as much as I can, but mainly my old gang down here on the start, down this area.
Is that injury going to clear up sooner rather than later? Like, you'll be fine in a couple of weeks?
Hopefully. Yeah, I should be, yeah. I should be. Maybe the end of the month there or something.
Right.
I'll be aiming to get back.
Plenty of time for Cheltenham, though.
Yeah, plenty of time. Well, I'll be back for that.
A question from Derek Dunn on YouTube. Will Tracy Zeniscorti be suited by the track at Cheltenham?
No. No. He won't go.
He won't go. So he's going to go to Punchdown. No.
We're going to go to Navan first and then go to Punchdown.
The race you're on about, that he's going over fences, is that a novice handicap or is it just a novice race?
Novice handicap, I think. 75,000.
Right, so let me just get this straight. I was looking this up. Literally, as soon as I crossed the line the other day, I was just looking this up. So he's rated 138 over hurdles after last year. So he got £9 for winning at Leopardstown at Christmas. He got £10 for winning the other day, and that was very, very strong form. He's 138. He's 119 over fences. Even what could go wrong?
Nah.
Right, there we are. That we don't need to say anymore.
Right, well, listen, we'll let you go. Thanks very much for joining us. I wish you the very best, Kevin, with the injury situation, and we'll definitely be cheering you home at Cheltenham.
Perfect, thank you very much.
It's Kevin Bruder there giving us his thoughts.
What an absolute champ.
After not a bad week.
Just nothing. Like, jockeys say, sure, you know, anything can go wrong in a race, or, you know, he could have an off day, or nothing. He should be better over fences, not to mind that. He's so well handicapped. Keep the name. It's an easy name to remember. Must be a pub in Enniscorthy. I'm sure somebody from Enniscorthy might be.
Tracy's Enniscorthy.
Yeah. But a great story as well. I presume it was Robert Widger. His kids are. I think there are a couple of them, two or three of them around after the race, talking to Nick Luck, and just big smiles on their face, delighted with life.
I like the sound of Articulum. He's pretty confident, pretty bullish in his chances.
I was saying that Charles Burns maybe might be not get the horse he deserves. Terence O'Brien is a fantastic trainer as well. Lovely, lovely man from Cork. And a horse that he wouldn't tackle races that would be overly avaricious, I suppose, his horses. And he, the Ryanair could be very competitive this year, but he's worth his place.
Yeah, the top end of the betting is like Min and Chacun Pursois and Aplutar and Frodon, Riders in the Storm, Defi Tessoy. So, Footpad, that's not a bad race, all told. Right. A reminder that Friday Night Racing is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie and check out the Twitter account at HRI Racing with the hashtag Every Racing Moment ahead of every weekend when you do go racing. Let's look forward to this weekend's racing. The Tote Irish Injured Jockeys Charity Fund remains at €440 after UK raider Ina Bai failed to raise a gallop.
Ran desperately badly.
And was eventually pulled up at last weekend's Dublin Racing Festival at Leopardstown. Why the hell didn't we back Paul Nolan's horse? What is wrong with us that we didn't just back Paul Nolan's horse? He was on the show last week going, yeah, he's a good man. Pretty happy with how this is going. We're like, this is the best story we've ever heard.
Yeah.
What a comeback. First race up.
Winning well. But I think a lot of people listening in would have, at the very least, thought about backing him.
I hope so.
Yeah. But like, he was, his form. His
7-2, he romped home.
Romped home. His form.
Unlike our failed to raise a gallop and was eventually pulled up, it says here.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. But anyway, the horse goes to Cheltenham with a big chance now, which is great. I mean, we need different people sharing a slice of the victorious pie, as it were. And I love Paul Nolan. He's a great lad.
He is great.
Cheltenham winner or Wexford winning the All-Ireland in hurling now would be a difficult one for him, I'd say. I'd say the Cheltenham winner is more likely.
Well, I think you've always got to go, well, this is my thing and I'm controlling this.
Mm.
That's their thing. That's on Davy and Lee Chin and all the rest of them.
I'd say go for the Cheltenham winner, but it'd be close enough.
The action on the home front this weekend will come from Naas tomorrow and Punchestown on Sunday. Obviously, in the UK, Altior would attempt to get his season back on track at Newbury, where the feature is the always ultra-competitive Betfair Hurdle.
Fantastic race at Newbury.
What's the story with Altior?
I don't know. This will tell us more. If you look at the ratings of the horse he's running against, like Kalishnikov on his day is a very good horse, and he has to give him 3 pounds. So it is a test of some description. Dynamite Dollar is a very good horse. So Royale, a bit of a standard dish at this level, travel away well, and will give him something to think about. I don't know. I wouldn't be confident. Just in light of the fact that this season hasn't been good for him. He did have an issue after the last day, but if he were to win well, and I hope he does, it will set up an unbelievably attractive Queen Mother Champion Chase Cheltenham between him, Deffy Desai, and Shaq and Pursois, would be an absolute race for the ages. So I hope.
Wasn't Altior supposed to be a super horse?
He is, oh, absolutely. He doesn't need to prove anything. It was his first defeat, but 100% wasn't right on the day.
But the horses come back from not being right.
Yeah, absolutely. Do they? I only think of Sprinter Sacra, his illustrious stablemate. He's 2-1 on Jer, which would be buying money if he were at his best, but I couldn't go near him. He's had a lot of deceptively hard races, and the last day he obviously has some war wounds. He's taken his time with him, Nicky Henderson, but I'd rather watch. I could see him being easy enough in the betting. You couldn't put a lot of money on him, as much as he's very, very happy with his work at the moment.
Okay, so that's Altior in Newbury.
Got to mention the 3 o'clock is the Betfair Denman Chase, which is another good race, which Native River is 2-7 in. Somewhat forgotten horse, Native River, at the age of 10, but still on the scene. But the race for me to concentrate on is the Betfair Hurdle, handicap hurdle, with just the 24 declared. Mac the Man down at the foot of the weights in with a big chance. Not So Sleepy has been anti-post favourite for the race under Johnny Burke for Hughie Morrison. His participation was contingent on him working well during the week. That all went according to plan. The Banner King Rebel, who has Kerry connections as well from the past, is very interesting. But for me, the fascinating horse here is Ciel de Niege, trained by W.P. Mullins. He was desperately unlucky not to win at Christmas at Limerick. He should have won by about 5 lengths. He was beaten ahead. But what interests me is that he ran in the Fred Winter last year at Cheltenham. He ran very well. He was only beaten 3.5 lengths by Band of Outlaws, which is really strong form. That was off 132. He's only 3 pounds higher, and he ran at Fairy House on his seasonal return when he was a massive eye catcher behind Janadil, who could have run in this race but doesn't. And I would strongly suggest a big each way betting him, and I think they're going to be 5 places with some of the firms.
Ciel de Neige,
who's by authorised, Aidan Coleman riding for Willie Mullins. If you can back Willie Mullins first string in a handicap at double figure odds, you know, I don't really need to say more.
You're getting him around about 11-1 is the best price. Short is 9 with some bookmakers, and everything else that you've already talked about is kind of 6 or 7, depending on where you look for it. So you're saying there's a bit of value. Is that our tip for the week? No?
That is our tip for the week, actually, yeah. You know, at a sort of a decent price as well.
Change your mind about that now? Have you talked yourself into that?
No, because, to be honest, the Irish racing this weekend is tricky enough. I'm just trying to bring up a little story for you from this race, if I'm right. I just have to look at the previous winners of it.
Grace Mooney Butler on YouTube says, Tracy Zeniscorthy has that much in hand over fences that even Johnny Tippingham wouldn't be enough to stop a win next time out.
Who was that?
Grace Mooney Butler.
Grace. Never a fan of people with double barrel names. But Grace, just hold me in your arms.
Yes, what a week. What a week, Kevin Kilbane.
Yeah.
That was the song he proposed with.
Yeah, it's become very popular at Ireland International Games, which is interesting. But yeah, this particular Grace is on the button, though. I think she's right, despite Charles Burns' text and all that.
Right, so let's talk about some of the racing this weekend in Ireland. Why is it so tricky?
Nace is tricky. One of the races, the Opera Hat, obviously honours Opera Hat's great mare. This is a chase, and Benny Dedieu won this. You'd actually forget that Benny Dedieu was a very good chaser before she went hurdling and may or may not take on Honeysuckle at Cheltenham. This is not a particularly strong race. I imagine Cut the Mustard will win. The 2:12 race is a very interesting race. Gin on Lime is a horse I think has a massive chance for Jessica Harrington. That would be probably the bet of the day at Nace. And on to Sunday then at Punchestown. It is kind of the calm after the storm. There actually is going to be a storm of sorts this weekend, I think, but it's calm after the storm of Cheltenham. The Entertain Your Guests rated novice chase, that has to be a pretty strange name, I have to say. In any event, it is what it is. Dunvegan going right-handed under Rachel Blackmore would get the nod. And what else are we putting some? We have also the Boyle Sports Grand National Trial Handicap Chase. That's a 100 grand race, which is quite tough. I should give a mention, the 215, very, very good race. This Cedarwood Road and Fighter Island for Chris Jones among the runners there.
All right. So you don't think that there's anything stand out beyond the Rachel Blackmore one on the Sunday that you
in the 4:25, I'm going to burden Rachel with my allegiance again in this one. She's riding a horse. You may remember me tipping this up not that long ago in it was an amateur riders race. It was a small bit disappointing, but I think there probably is a day in this horse. This horse actually, if I get his name here, he's 10 years of age, and he was going on 10 years of age. Chebde Kerviniu. He was going on 10 years of age, and they paid nearly 50 grand for him late last year for a handicapper, which is quite interesting. But there actually is a very good program for these elder horses. I'm going to give him one more chance. Steps up and trip, 10 stone. I hope he goes well. He should go well.
Chebde Kerviniu.
Chebde Kerviniu, yeah.
Round about 8 to 1 at the moment.
Yeah.
Sunday going to post at 4:25.
Not as good value as CL Dinej, though.
Right, okay. Okay, so that's our tips for the weekend. Mm. What was your nap again?
CL Deniege.
Right.
But don't forget, as Grace was alluding to there, don't forget Tracy's in a Scorty when it goes over fences. Like this, it's a lovely story. I think he's a lot more races to be won with this fella.
New Tote customers can get up to €50 cash back for opening a new account. See the tote.com website for more details. And that's another Friday Night Racing in the book. So there's one last thing you wanted to talk about. You were obviously a major Six Nations debut.
Yeah, I know there was a lot of... I put up a tweet about the fact that you can have a drink at the game, but you can't at a football game, which I think may or may not have to do with UEFA regulations. But another matter which wouldn't have, I presume doesn't have anything to do with UEFA regulations. I came from Leopardstown at the weekend, so I had my bag with me. No problems getting in with your bag. If you go to a soccer game, you arrive outside the Viva Stadium, they're like,
you're a bummer.
You can't bring your bag in. It's like, why can't I bring in my bag? I'm gonna throw my laptop at a footballer. Is that what so I've literally had to, you have to find a pub 10 minutes away, drop your bag there, and hope that they... So I don't know, this attitude towards soccer fans versus rugby fans is a little bit whatever. Insert word here.
Is that not social apartheid you're talking about?
Yes.
Classist.
Yes, it
That's
is classist.
Is it not to do again with UEFA?
It possibly is. I don't exactly know why. At League of Ireland games, I don't think you can bring your beer out when you want to watch the game, which I can't get my head around this, but obviously there is...
There's been some trouble at some League of Ireland matches, and they're like, no booze, you can't booze because...
Bring a plastic glass out then.
But it's the booze, it's the alcohol fueling the fights.
Well, we have a situation next weekend where Shamrock Rovers are playing Bowes in front of ridiculously reduced capacity of about 3,500 people.
In Tala?
No, in Dalymount. Yeah. Yet the Gardaí think they can't police that, so they moved it to Saturday. So I would suggest the Gardaí, you should try and maybe go over to Greece or Istanbul or a game in some country and see with 50,000 people. Because if you can't police a game, 3,500 fans in Dalymount on a Friday night, you're quite frankly not doing your job. So anyway, the game's on Saturday now instead.
All right, we'll come back to that some other time. Friday Night Racing, as I said, is in the books.
The point I did want to make, though, about the game. So you can get your beers anyway, and they give you this lovely plastic, strong plastic. But they say it's €7 each.
But you get €2 back for...
So they say it's €1. Once you bring it back, we give you €1 back.
Yeah.
So I said this to my girlfriend at halftime, and I think there might have been a bit of ambiguity about them telling everyone who bought a beer that this was the case. So looked around at the end of the game.
Collected 50.
Within the space of, I want to say, 2 minutes, we collected 17 glasses. So A, we were doing our bit for the climate, but mainly B, we actually profited from having pints at the match. What more do you want? It sounds a bit like the burn cash for ash in the north. Burn energy, get paid for it. Anyway.
On that note, Friday Night Racing on Off the Ball is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie. We'll see you next week.
Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.